situation, but God can do things even through the little ones. So really, praise God for that news. So as we start this discussion, I think it's a good note to remember that what we're trying to discuss today is a continuation, as Brother A just said, from what we did at the retreat. Now at the retreat, it was a Sunday night message where I think probably half of us or more than half of us were not present. So I think to get a little activated in this discussion, it'd be good to just have a show of hands as to who was actually present there. Only for one reason, not to mark your attendance, but to, if you need to get more information about what really went down, I can't do that in the half an hour. You can actually talk to those of us who are present. So those who were present, a show of hands on Sunday night. All right, so actually it's quite a bit more than half who were not there. So it's worth doing this discussion. The one idea, objective being, in order to update you on what went on. That was one. And the second is, would we be interested in focusing on that topic that the two brothers who were presenting from MES brought up. Just want to say that it came about in a kind of an unexpected way. After finishing the message, the second brother who was backing up for a practical discussion said, why don't we do this? Why don't we break up into groups representing the different churches, and then we'll have a discussion on discipleship. So that was the topic. So those of you who have not listened to the messages, also want to let you know, I think Brother Jaron has uploaded all of the five messages on the website. And this was after message number five. If you want to listen to it, that's good. But it was not about discipleship. But I think it's good to, if you want to go back and listen to that message. And then, of course, our discussion was, he had a set of questions. Maybe like it was five or six questions. And we were discussing in groups. So our group, four questions, okay. Four questions. In our group of Columbus Bible Chapel met separately. And other groups, including, I think, the Guardians from Morgantown, you bet, with other assemblies, right? And maybe you can share later as to what transpired in those discussions, because I'm not aware of actually what the discussion was. But in a nutshell, that's what we want to do today. And Brother Abe kindly took notes efficiently, as he always does. So we have the notes of all the ideas and the suggestions and the discussion that bubbled up. So the one thing I wanted to say is it was an unusual discussion in the sense in Columbus Bible Chapel when we come together, it is a more formal setting where we are listening to a message or it's a worship service, and there's really hardly any time to interact with one another or talk about the things of God in a different, you know, format. And so what happened that day was, I think about 15 plus of us were there, it just opened up into a very good discussion where almost everybody was participating and brought forth what they thought and felt. So again, I wanted to mention that this discussion is not about making any decisions or trying to come to a conclusion today. It is just to generate that discussion that took place and to kind of carry it forward, bathed in prayer and teaching from the Word of God, to find out what the Word teaches about this and are we willing to and do we want to follow that path. So basically, that's what we're trying to do today. So that's our topic, just discussing the...
You have the clicker? Tell me. Let's go get next slide.
Thank you. Thanks, Jared. Okay, so I just got... what I did is, the points that Brother Abe had jotted down, it's on a sheet of paper like this. It's more an email, so I didn't think it was the best for circulation. So what I've done is, I've kind of abbreviated that and put it up on slides here. So what I'll do... before I go into that, I had a couple of things. One is... So if you want a title for the topic, it was more like determining our interest in this subject of discipleship, which is taught in the scriptures very clearly and modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So the other thing I wanted to say is don't regard this as one of our teaching meetings, because it is not a teaching meeting. So please feel free that the brothers and sisters, like we did on the day of the retreat, are welcome to discuss, have any questions. So please feel free to be able to express your thoughts about this topic. And if any of you can't hear at the back or you need the mic when you speak up, I'll bring the mic over to you. Oh, I go the other way. Is that visible all right? Not to me, but I guess maybe one more layoff may be good. Yeah. So I think I was just putting down what are the reasons. I just summarized a few points as why we're doing this. Which is kind of unusual for Columbus Bible Chapel to be doing this kind of a discussion. But the real one reason was just to explore our own thoughts, our understanding, the interests that we have, and the availability for discipleship. And many of us have had different experiences over the past many years, decades, and we've had discipleship in informal settings, formal settings. So we are all coming from different experiences. So it'd be nice to collectively bring that together and see what the Lord would have us do in terms of obedience to His word. So that was one thought. And the other thought, the most important thing, I think, is to pray about this and discern what the Holy Spirit may teach us individually, right? Because many of us, me included, do fall short of some of the standards and the requirements and what Scripture expects of us. So pray about that for individually, as families, and as a collective local body as well, what the Holy Spirit was wanting to teach us through the Word. And then finally, if there are needs related to discipleship, how do we identify them and how do we meet those needs? That's the practical aspect. So this I put down as the three broad kind of objectives of what we're trying to do, not just today. I want to also mention that we'll be continuing this discussion based on the input and the feedback we get. We've already earmarked the 29th, that is two Sundays from now, when Brother Ray Gonzalez will be here. We'll have a continued discussion and maybe some teaching also on the topic. So today is not a teaching session, as I said. I want to repeat that just to be able to gather together ideas, thoughts. So feel free to be talking, and I should be talking less. So I'll slowly hand the mic over to you. All right, so these were just the summaries of the points that we got in relation to the first question, which is, what steps will you take together to make disciples? And I wanted to go back, but he did refer to the Great Commission, and this discussion that we did have on that retreat Sunday, 1st of September, was not so much about making disciples by going out into the world as the Great Commission had. We did say and define that that is part of the making disciples, but we talked more about discipleship within the assembly. That was the context that we mainly had that discussion. So some of these points are all related to that. So modeling discipleship within the local body, and then using that relationship building to reach out to those outside the body. Okay? Now, I'm not going to refer to any scripture verses by, references, but we know that the Lord Himself said that the love that exists between us is what the people outside of the world would see and attract them to our fellowship, to the local bodies, right? The church. So that's one thing. Again, if we don't have a strong fellowship, which also involves discipleship, probably that's one of the lacks we have. And that is why we need to be talking more about that and how that would strengthen our outreach to the greater need of making disciples even outside of the church, obviously. So we do have, and as we discussed, it was interesting, people said, over the years I've had mentoring relationships, which is what typical term that is not used in the Bible, but we all have it in our companies and our organizations, mentoring and mentors and mentees. And I've been a mentor to many, I've had mentees even now, so that's there. But within the assembly, again, in an informal setting, we may have had that multiple times. People want to meet with you, talk to you about something, and we don't then have not, at least in this place, call that a discipleship session. If I've had breakfast with somebody or lunch with somebody, I don't say, hey, this is going to be our discipleship session. Not really, but it is a form of discipleship, okay? And then that was one, just to say that we do have, and there were specific instances mentioned of discipleship that is actually going on amongst us, but not necessarily under those terms, right? So that was one thing. I think I have about 25 minutes. I'm going to take maybe another 5 or 7 minutes to go through the points that we had. And if any of you have any, thoughts about it as we're going through a point, feel free, because we may not be able to come back to all the points. So if you have any thoughts about, because we did discuss, one of the discussions was, what do we want, a formal discipleship kind of arrangement, or it should be informal? And I think there were views on, how, if it is not available or people don't know that a discipleship opportunity is there, how would they get into one, right? And there are informal ones, which are good, and therefore it was suggested that anything that's a organically growing spiritual relationship should be encouraged, so that it involve teaching, it involves modeling to others, and therefore that would be a way of developing the discipleship. I also wanted to, my own thought that I did not mention that day as I reflected and prayed about it, it's easy to fall into the trap of getting somebody you like to disciple you, versus somebody you may not necessarily like. So we are not talking about likes, because the truth is, likes ultimately repel. So that's math. But the truth is that you really need to be looking out for somebody who can provide you spiritual enlightenment food and, you know, guide you in your path, not necessarily just because you're buddies or because you're thick friends in whatever, you know, maybe volleyball or whatever. I'm using one of our CDC pastimes. You know, whatever you do, that does not necessarily mean that it may be a good ground to get started, but that does not necessarily mean that because I like X or Y, then that's my disciple. And I'm disciple. Does not necessarily mean that. And that's when you need to come to another point I think we have, to pray about these things and ask the Lord to guide you to whoever. That is very important, rather than making my own mechanical human choice. So that's just a thought that I had since then. So the need to seek out discipleship opportunities and also seek out those who would disciple us as the Holy Spirit leads. So that was really my segue to that point, to say that we really need to be conscious that I need, you know, even at my age or stage, or many of us are in that group and even older, you know, there's always need to talk to somebody and find out how they handle things, right? It really helps to find out, because sometimes you're in a bind and you think you're the only person in the entire universe, at least, or this planet or this city that's undergoing a particular situation. And when you talk, and I just talked last Wednesday as we left the meeting with somebody, said one of the big advantages that I've had coming to the prayer meeting on a Wednesday is just realizing that, you know what, you have nothing, not even an ounce to worry or talk about. Just listen to the things matters share. We are, you know, terrible news sometimes, but sad news and encouraging news. But when you listen to all of that, yours becomes a tiny, tiny little speck of dust. That's my impression. I do not afford to. So as I'm saying, that is something. Listening to somebody else, listening to what's going on in their life, brings your situation into perspective. Otherwise, we make mountains out of molehills, and then what happens is we're all, you know, really struggling with that, just thinking about myself or my situation. But that's the benefit of seeking out discipleship opportunities with others who've been probably through the same situations multiple times or similar situations, and there's learning in all of that. We'll shortly come to why we don't do that. We'll come, and that's when we can have some discussion. So make our love and relationships more visible to those outside. And I think this was a suggestion with a practical example or CBC to say that even the volleyball that was, you know, attempted occasionally is an example to others that here's a fellowship that's not stuck within four walls, but can be even seen on the outside. And I don't mean it should be limited only to volleyball. I think there's one example that was given. It could be done in so many different ways, but that's important then. The other thought that came is about starting small regional groups and assessing perceived need and examining the reasons for its lack of success in the past. Now, for those of you who have not been here more than about 3 years, some of you may remember that we had three regional groups in Kenya. Quite a few of you may not have been there. And we did that a year plus, and it slowly kind of died out because we all couldn't make the meetings. We couldn't keep our regularity. And that has happened for other meetings, like the men's meeting, which lasted for maybe 4 or 5 years, the couples meeting for a year and a half or so. So it has happened, and therefore, again, the question for discussion is, why is that happening, or what's our barrier in meeting together? So that's another discussion that we can bring up with. I'm going to go on to the next one. Next question. What potential barriers? And this, I think, is really something that we need to be discussing as well. Do we need to pray about? Okay. So availability was one of the things that was mentioned there. Availability. Well, how much of time do I have? Am I available for something like a discipleship session, a meeting, in terms of time? So the next point I have is that's a big challenge. Finding time is a big challenge for most of us who are into either full-time jobs or you've got multiple responsibilities. The home, many various things. So again, I'm reminded always in using that language that it's not a question of finding time. It's a question of making time. Because we know that in a single week, there are situations where, let's say there's a game that's important to me, everything else disappears, I will watch that game. I know people who will travel around the world for something. Why? That's my priority. So it's not a question of not finding time. It's a question of making time. I'm committed that I will watch every X or Y, whether it's a serial on TV, or whether it's a football game, or whether it's my reading, or whatever. That which I'm really interested in, I will make time for it. Right? And that's the difference I want to point out. By finding time, very often you'll never find time, because it's preoccupied with things that are more core to me, more passionate to me, and that's why I think we need to make that distinction. Making time rather than finding time. And of course, sending priorities prayerfully about discipling others. As you said, we don't just go up to somebody and say, hey, Jitin, I want to be discipling you from tomorrow noon, right? We may not be available, we may not be interested, and so many things like that, right? So especially in this current situation where antennas are tuned to India and Dubai. I wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying, so again, the point is when you pray about it, you'll realize that this is not for me to do. We've had situations where we know there's a brother in need, but we don't want four of us approaching that brother and saying, hey, can I disciple you? You know, that's not the way it works, right? So we pray about it, and the Lord will open opportunities, and has, in our experience, in many situations, enabled many to be able to be of help and others. So praying about it again goes back to that. And here's a problem that we discussed. It's one of the barriers. That was one of the discussions. I think we can probably do that, unless we want to go back to that slide and have some discussion in the next 20 minutes. What potential barriers? Well, difficulty with transparency. Now, I think we all agree that very often in our meetings or in our daily life, we do walk around with a sense of a mask. It's like, that's not the true me, right? You want to see the true me, you've got to come home. Or you've got to see me when I'm provoked. Or you've got to see me at work. That composes the true me with different caps, right? Maybe a dad, we talked about how as a dad you may be different, as a granddad you're definitely different. And, what does that mean? How does that look like? So we don't really open ourselves in those settings because you don't do that in a church meeting, right? So we talked about that also that Sunday. When you are seeing somebody in a different light, you say, oh, why? There may be very encouraging things, and then maybe as you get closer to anybody, any human, there will be some discouraging things. That's a lesson I've learned in my youth. You put him on a pedestal and think he's a great preacher, blah, blah, blah. You get closer, it says, oh my, he is human, right? Very human, right? That's true for all of us, right? So we are all human and we'll fight. So that may be one of the difficulties. Any thoughts just to initiate a discussion? Maybe we can have one of the lights back, because I don't want to put anybody to sleep, so one of the lights. On what are the barriers or the difficulties? Not only transparency, but anything else?
Well, I think also when you say finding time or making time, it's okay to have the desire. It's okay to have the desire to want to disciple somebody, but if we ourselves are not spending time with God in His Word and prayer, we have no right to try to disciple somebody else. And then also, if we have that desire to disciple somebody, the person themselves that we are maybe interested in has to have that desire to be discipled, because if they're not willing to learn, then it's in vain.
Thanks, Bob. That's a very important and powerful point. If I'm not walking with the Lord, then there's no point in me trying to disciple anybody. Rather, you refrain, because you would probably misguide the person more. So I think it's very important to be sure that you're walking with the Lord, definitely. So thank you for that point. And Brother Abe, as usual, is taking notes for us, so we'll be able to extend this and circulate some of these thoughts later.
I just asked, what would be the goal of your discipleship? I mean, when you disciple anybody, it seems to me that the person that's discipling has to be equipped with the ability to be able to teach. You can't, that's what's wrong with the small groups movement in general. They have people that are teaching that don't even know what they're teaching because they don't know what to teach. And if you don't teach the content of the scriptures, it's just like Abe and Bindu go to a group where they get discipled every week in that group they go to. And if you don't have that kind of a format when you're with your goal of discipleship, and the person, just like Bob said, you have to have both the person that wants to learn, wants to grow, but you have to have the person who is equipped to teach to get that person to that level. And both of them have to be committed, and they have to be committed to the time frame that you do it in.
Excellent. That's a point that we did kind of touch on there as well. And I think that word, I think what I want to come back to, the word commitment is a huge one. I will come back to that.
So we talked about at the retreat, Ben Kearns kind of brought up this little acronym called FAT, and it was stood for faithful, available, and teachable. This should be something that represents anyone desiring to be in a discipling relationship, whether that's the discipler or the disciplee, faithful, available, teachable. And then even from John chapter 16 and verse 12, as we read earlier this morning, I don't know that someone necessarily has to think of themselves as a teacher to be a discipler involved in a discipling relationship. Because as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true teacher is the Holy Spirit dwelling within each of the individuals. And when we were meeting together to talk about this the other day, I listened to Chip Ingram on the radio right before we had a discussion on this, and he shared Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." He said that that hypocrisy word was really to address an issue that the early church had, where they'd get together in community and in parties, and they would wear a mask. And he said, "Let love be without hypocrisy," was the idea of taking off this mask and being transparent. So I think it's perfectly possible that someone could grow up all their life and reach the age of 40, 50, 60 and say, "I've never been discipled and I don't feel like I'm gifted with teaching." And it would be easy to say, "I can't be in a discipleship relationship." However, what we know from the Word of God is that the Holy Spirit, we can be transparent with another person and say, "I've never been discipled, but I recognize from the Word of God that it's an integral part of my Christian walk and my journey of faith to be a disciple, to be making disciples." And because of that, I don't know if you're interested in that, but what if we just prayed, read the Bible, and talked about it? Not a teaching relationship, but just talked about it. And as questions came up, then we go and we find a teacher and we say, "We've been reading the Bible together and we have these questions and we don't know what this means," or whatever. But if there's a faithful, available, and teachable segment, all of a sudden, good questions start coming up. And then teachers can emerge to work into those situations as well.
Thank you, Jim. I think we're recording all of this so that you know, we'll be able to bring this up for further discussion. But these are both valid points, and I'd say there are two sides to the coin, and we've got to be careful how we handle that. But I just had a comment, and that was that, you know, we're not talking about just doctrinal teaching or teaching from the Word of God. Life itself is a teacher. Life is a teacher. So when I share my life, though I may not be gifted in teaching, I may not even be able to speak, I may be stuttering or whatever, I'm living a life like anybody else. Okay? So that situation, when I share with somebody what the Lord did for me, or you know, how I've learned things, it can be a huge teaching moment. You know, even with children, we're all there, you know, we're always discipling children, right? And what is that? Using teaching moments. So we're not talking about the gift of teaching necessarily in those situations. We're talking about living life out in front of others with a spiritual purpose and objective. But that's, I think, one of the ways in which we could look at that. Anything else before I move on to, I think there's two more slides. Sorry.
I was also starting to think in terms of delineating differences between maybe fellowshipping and encouraging one another versus discipling. I know that it's a spectrum and you can't really cut that very, very sharply because there's going to be overlap. But perhaps, you know, what Tim is talking about is slightly different from what Brother Tom was talking about. I mean, if you guys care to expound a little bit more, that might be useful.
All right, thank you. We'll come back to that. Point noted, and let me see what else we have here. Well, we just kind of touched on that. An example that was shared there was parenting advice and willingness to even share mistakes. I'm not necessarily having to disciple somebody by showing all the perfect things you've done, but even the mistakes you've made, and brother, please make sure that you don't go that route. That's a huge lesson. All of us don't have to repeat the same mistakes that somebody else made. You know, so therefore, that's one great way in learning that. So, now even as I say that, a lot of personal examples have come to mind, but I will refrain from that. When we get a chance, I think even from our conscious years, even teenagers, we've seen so many examples of life lived out before us, even in the assemblies. And I remember clearly, I don't want to be like X. That's a huge lesson that I learned about 17, 18 onwards, right? And it's lived with me for 30 decades as I raised my children. It was very clear, I don't want to be like X. But I do want to be like, why? Because they're wanting after Christ. And Paul the Apostle also taught us that. Here's the other part of the barriers, vulnerability. The moment we share something, and I mentioned this at our prayer meeting, is one place where people come out and share what's going on in their lives. And sometimes there's a vulnerability there because you're exposing the truth of a matter, right? And we do that in confidence. We do that as amongst brothers and sisters. So we always have, by God's grace, at Columbus Bible Chapel, been able to keep it within the confines of the fellowship. And it's not meant for the street, it's not meant for the outside. And therefore, we've been fortunate that way. But there's a vulnerability. It could go somewhere. Or somebody could twist around. There are all those kind of thoughts that come.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why I don't want to make myself arrogant. Nobody likes to get hurt, right? I know at least. So we don't want to go walk around and give people scope to hurt us. That may be one natural reaction that prevents us from opening up, from keeping the mask on. But I think truly for spiritual growth, we need to take those masks off and we have to be willing to accept the possibilities of hurt. And that itself sometimes is growth. And I've had that experience myself. You can get very hurt, but you can learn from it, right?
So vulnerability may be another factor. The prayer needed, we just touched on that again, to build relationships. What's our objective? What is to edify?
Right?
It's not talking stories, it's not gossip, it's in order to edify, as Paul teaches us clearly in the episodes, whatever we do, it should be for the edification of the believers. Now, the other thing we mentioned in that discussion was the limitations of what we can do on a Sunday or a Wednesday evening. Wednesday, all of us are not here. Sunday, we have teaching time, and we don't want to compromise with our teaching time. So we may be able to do a couple of discussions like this, but that's not enough. So we need to find or make time where we can have a better forum for disciples. So that's why we attempted a small group setting a few years ago, which did not really last for too long. Okay, I'm going to end with that and open it up for discussion again, because these are two questions that we didn't get too deep into, but I have a few points. I left it blank. Who will you reach out to for discipleship, both to disciple you and someone to disciple, is a question that was thrown by the speakers, and we did some discussion. But it's a personal decision that you need to pray about, so I just left those points that we discussed there blank for each of us to think of. And the last slide is, what creative avenues for evangelism and discipleship has the Lord placed on your heart and my heart? That's something that's important too. And I know that in many of our situations, there are people that we are speaking to, there are people that are in our sphere of influence, as I think Tim was reminding us recently. So who are the ones that we should be, you know, focused on? Or where is the Spirit leading us in terms of relationships with them? What do we do? Do we, you know, invite them home? Or do we, you know, try and find time outside of our work or whatever it is? We need to kind of do that. I also want to tell you this, that even in our workplaces, there are situations where people will reach out to you because they have a need, and you don't even know what it is. But when somebody reaches out to you for a need, make yourself available. I had that experience this past Thursday, I think, out of the blue, a lunch invitation. Do you have time for lunch? I don't normally do lunch. I had my salad waiting there, but I took the opportunity to go and talk to somebody who was under some stress. And it was good to talk. He's a believer too, so that wasn't a difficult conversation, but it was worth taking that time out to be able to be of service to him. And many of us in our workplaces or other relationships do that as we can. And these are all forms of discipleship. And let me tell you this, since I blurted out the one personal experience that I had this past week. The same person who reached out to me 3 years ago came into my office and sat down, said, he's coming from another country. He said, can I just talk to you as a son talks to a father? I was at work. And he is the next door neighbor. I was shaking when he said that, because I've met too many people saying, can you talk to me like a father to a son? He's from another country, totally different from mine. He just felt that he had real struggles going on. And God has helped him. He's a believer. He's risen the ranks. He's done very well. But he struggles again. So he reaches out to you again. But you've got to be available, right? And it's not a discipleship relationship. I don't think he thinks of it, we think of it. At the most, you talk of it as a mentor or mentee relationship. But that's a form of availability is what I'm talking about. We need to make ourselves available. So let's go back to the... in fact, we don't need the slides. Let's have the lights on.
Hey, to make things clear, could you define what a disciple is?
Well, that's what I don't want to get into today, because it's going to involve some teaching, and we're going to do that probably in the next couple of weeks. So I don't want to get into, because I really have not done an in-depth study, some have, so we'll wait for a...
Can you give us a simple definition?
The word disciple, if any of us know the meaning of the word disciple, what is it?
It means someone who's learning.
Yeah, and another way of looking at it is to teach. It's actually, when you discipline somebody, people think it's learning of the rod, right? But it's actually disciplining is teaching and learning both ways. One is teaching, one is learning, and it sometimes should work both ways as well. So that would be a disciple. The word follower is a good example. In fact, in the scripture you'll read that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. But what's the word used there? The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The word disciples is there. So till then they were called the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The disciples, not only the 12, the 70 and more. And they were termed Christians by others at Antioch, right? talk about that. So you see the word disciples right there, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and there are many nuances or aspects of that meaning, but to me simply this, those of us who are desirous of following, which is anybody who has placed faith in Christ. So discipleship is a fundamental part of scriptural teaching, especially New Testament patterns, but we don't talk about it too much, and that's why I think we should be discussing that. Any other questions, thoughts? We have about 6 minutes. Yes?
Yes. I think one of the neat things about in the chapels, the assemblies, is that we have a variety of speakers from the pulpit, both teaching and expounding the word, of different ages. And as an older person, I still know that I can learn from younger people. A younger person can disciple me. The two passages that always come through my mind when you think about discipleship and teaching, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. The Old Testament is Deuteronomy chapter 6. The principles there that were given that we would teach our children while they were standing, they were sitting, and they were sleeping. When you come over to Titus chapter 2, Paul gives Titus the instructions there that the older men are to teach the younger men, the older women are to teach the younger women. So those are some really excellent principles to keep in mind. And they can work, whether it be the younger person teaching the older, or the older teaching the younger.
Thank you, Brother Paul. So that's all very valid thoughts. Anybody else? Mike can come around anywhere. Any thoughts? I forgot to mention this, but Brother Thomas and I did meet soon after the retreat to talk about this more, and did feel the need that we should be bringing this out to the congregation as a whole. And then we met since again and talked about this. I just want to make sure that you don't think it's just me. It's all of us wanting to do that. Any thoughts on why maybe we should not be doing this? I'm flipping the coffee over the other way, you know. Just like, you know, is that good that we discuss and talk about, you know, how we follow the Lord and how we do this? Any thoughts?
I've been reading recently in the book of Acts, and I've been challenged just in general, their way of life, not just culturally or technological differences or semantics, but just in general, their heart and the way that they conducted their lives and where their priorities lied. I was just challenged by, when we talk about meeting in accordance with New Testament principles, but we don't talk an awful lot about living like the New Testament early Christians that were shaken by the events of Christ's life, his death, 40 days on the earth, his resurrection, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's, in my life, I don't see that as much of a reality as I think it should be when I examine the believers in the book of Acts.
Thanks, Tim. I think what Tim shared, I think all of us can identify with. It's something that very clearly we aren't where we should be, and therefore there is much work required and prayer required as well. Anybody else who wasn't present, any questions? Those who weren't present for the discussion? We have another 3 minutes. Any of the sisters have any thoughts that you wanted to mention, share? Yes? Been the rest of the year, so.
Regarding the question about who you would look for to disciple you, I've had the experience many times in this chapel when I wanted to share something that's going on. I remember from Proverbs two passages. One is that one who walks with the wise become wise. And the other is that we're to deal with each other as iron sharpens iron. And so I look for those people who are not just going to commiserate with me, but who are going to sharpen me. And for me, that's what discipleship is, one of the benefits of it. And I haven't had a long process of it, but in short bursts, when I need it, God has provided here.
So thank you, Sister Bindu. So again, I think we've touched on this before, and what Bindu was saying was that we've had that measure here, may not be formalized, but it's been there. And I think those are excellent things that have been mentioned. So I think we need to all keep remembering that. Sorry, Raquel, what was your first point?
Just I think about in Proverbs, those two passages.
Right, correct.
Those
yeah, iron sharpens iron and walking. Yeah. So that again is tremendous insight. Going back a little bit to what I said, it's not just a question of what you like. You're really trying to get people who can correct you, who can actually direct you in a way that you may not be going. So therefore, I think it's always, that's why I mentioned, not necessarily somebody you like, is that sort of criteria. It's somebody who can actually assist you in that process of growth and spiritual walk. Okay, 1 minute. Who wants the last question or thought? Anybody?
All right. I go back to that statement when I was at the conference, that he made a statement from Timothy. If you don't have a person that's mature teaching somebody, that person cannot grow in the Lord. I know that from my own life. I went 25 years of my life till I went and ended up in seminary, and I was discipled not on a personal level, but every day I was sitting in class with one of my professors, I was being a learner, and what I was learning while I was in those classes was to have a complete confidence in the Word of God. And if that isn't the goal of your life for the other person, there's something wrong in the. You can have people who are very kind, and we have an unbelievable amount of people in this assembly that are that way. I just can't stress the fact that it's just like before I had this study with Anthony, I didn't feel like I could proceed with having a study with him if I didn't have the approval of the elders to teach him. Until I got that, I wouldn't have any proceed. And my goal for Anthony's life is just to be faithful to him, and him faithful to what I'm teaching him, and in the process, he's going to grow. And I'm going to help, by the Spirit of God, be led by the Spirit, to help him to get in that process to grow to maturity. That's my goal for him. I don't know if everybody, when they have discipleship, have that goal for the people they want to disciple. But that's the reason why I want to disciple him.
Thank you, brother. I think we'll be having more teaching on that, and I think Christian maturity itself is something that's a big topic and a subject. What do you mean by that? And you know, we need to go deeper into that.
Closing comment. Yeah, just in closing, I'll give Tabitha's comment from the retreat since she didn't mention it. But she talked about it, and we discussed it again, was the importance of praying specifically for the Lord to alert our minds, to open our eyes, to see not just who we would naturally of ourselves choose, oh, I want a relationship with that, I want it to be closer, I enjoy being around that person, let's do discipleship too. But to really make it an active part of our prayer life, including even on Wednesday nights as we meet for corporate prayer, I don't think in recent years, as I look back, have we ever mentioned, boy, Lord, together as a group, show us who we should be discipling, show us who we should be being discipled by, and making it a part of our regular prayer life.
Thanks, Tim. I think I just want to respond to Tim. I think it'd be true to say that has not been one of our priority matters on our agenda. We've got busy with so many things, but I think something core and fundamental is that I think it's been lacking, at least in discussing and talking about it, and that's the reason I think we may do well. If any of you feel that we should not be having these discussions, or the contrary, that we should be having more of that, please feel free to let Thomas, Jill, myself, any of us know, so that we can proceed with thoughts that we have for the 29th, and maybe again, God willing, we'll know as well. And I request for the ball to close the record.
Father, we thank you again for allowing us to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also thank you for this time that we can begin to learn and to disciple and to become better disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will give us all a spirit of humility, a spirit that is willing to be taught, Spirit that is willing to yield to your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will help us to be men and women of God, that we can please you bring honor and glory to you. Pray that you'll help us in our own home relationships. We pray that you will help us to spend time with you. And we pray that you will help us in relationships with each other in this assembly. And we pray that we might grow, that we might grow closer to you and closer to each other. And we pray that you will help us, that we might be recognized in this community as a church that cares, a church that loves, a church that knows the Lord, and a church that is willing to reach out to the community and be a help to them. We ask for your blessing for the remainder of the day, and we thank you again for the one who was so precious to us, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. We'll be back here at 11:45 for the family babbler.